Today's text is the second reading for this morning from Romans chapter 5. And I follow the question, what will a father do so that you know he loves you? What will a dad do to communicate that he loves you? You know, sometimes we think of the hugs. Sometimes we think of the tickles. Sometimes we think of the things that our father did with us. You know, he maybe played ball with us, or he had tea party, or whatever that list is. And it's not cookie cutter for every father. That means it's not identical. There are ways in which a father may show his love for his child. As fathers are businessmen, outdoorsmen, craftsmen, intellectuals, gardeners, or the handyman, the guy that's good at tinkering and plumbing and mechanics, electrical stuff. There's the father that is good at sports, and there's the father whose health limits him from doing some of those activities like other dads. But all in all, a godly father tries to find a way to communicate to his child, I love you. Today in this lesson, we are reminded how our heavenly father, regardless of our earthly dads, wonderful, great, or limited, or not much there because somewhere in the military and often out of the house, however that journey was, all of us have a Heavenly Father who, one, gives us life, created us, you know, who communicates to us through His Word, puts His Holy Spirit into us, offers us life and salvation. But it's interesting. That which is free, sometimes that's what we don't want. You know, even in marketing, you go to a store and you saw this ad in the paper and they have something for $9.99. There's always a 99 in there, isn't there? Or a 95 or a 98. Why don't they just put 10 bucks? You know? But there it is, and it's marketed to you, but right next to it is something for $15.99, you know. And that ad is meant to get you in there to say, well, you can have this bargain price, but look over here. This is so much better. If you watch the home shows, the International House Hunter or House Hunters and things like that, you know, they'll do that, right? Well, I know this is above your price point, they'll say, but look at it, you know. I'm going, if you have a price point, what does it matter? But our world tries to convince us that it's better, greater, if we pay a higher price. And then recognize what we're getting for the bargain. And our world religions are often like this. As a friend of mine, Ted Cobra, would say, idols cost a lot. Idols of the heart cost. But the love of God is paid for. And it's amazing how it is that in humanity, we don't want that which is free. So this lesson begins, it says, while we were helpless. And I think in our context of our society today, we understand that word a little uniquely. You know, we do not often see ourselves as helpless. You can be sick and you're still not helpless. You can be injured and you're still not helpless. You know, it's amazing how many people will fall and they'll do anything to get up. You know, And the medical personnel, the rescue units and all that, they will say, just stay there. No, and they will fight you to get up. Yeah, they do not want to be perceived down. The nurses in the hospital are trained to help you. But it's amazing how many patients will say, no, I'll do this myself. No, you can't get out of bed on your own. I can too, you know. We do not like the idea of helpless. Our definition of helpless is, well, I might need a little assistance. But that's not the Bible's definition of helpless. This is where you can do nothing. Spiritually speaking, you can do nothing to earn your salvation. You can do nothing to merit the love of God. You can do nothing in sense of trying to achieve some spiritual level on your own. You just can't do it. Look at your bulletin and follow along. While we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were weak, and weak sometimes in our language, we understand, well, that means we have some strength, but it's not completely gone. And the idea here is we are helpless. We have no spiritual strength, no spiritual wisdom of our own. We have no spiritual discernment on our own. We have no spiritual power on our own, apart from God. And we do not like that image. It attacks our pride. It attacks our sense of independence. Self-sufficiency, it attacks so much within ourselves. We do not like that idea. But you know, when you think of what God is doing, it's the perfect image. While we were helpless, while we couldn't do it, while we would fail if we even tried, God loved us so much that he sent his only begotten son. That's big love. It's a love that you and I don't always equate with, because sometimes our dads get angry at us when we didn't pay attention. And sometimes our dads got angry at us when we tried and failed. And sometimes our dads got angry with us when we refused to try. We even said, I just can't do that. And the fathers were saying, yes, you can. Our Heavenly Father never said, you can do this on your own. Instead, he said, I will send my son, and he will do something that is impossible for you, but with me it is possible. And so when Christ came, he showed us and fulfilled the law, and he kept all those commandments, and he showed how to love enemies and love your neighbor, and he showed how to have compassion, and he showed how to speak God's word of truth, and he showed us so much that we weren't doing as a world. And some people had made up their own religions when Christ had come and wanted nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And since then, since his resurrection and ascension, people are still making up their own religions. They do not want Christianity, because Christianity doesn't include your works. Christianity doesn't include, well, you get to earn something and do something, and therefore you get to deserve something. But Christianity is about Christ, who did it all. While we were weak, better said, while we were helpless. And the Father wasn't angry and furious and saying, I'm going to kick you out of the house. And the Father wasn't, belligerent and bullying and name-calling and demeaning. Instead, the Father recognized this is the solution. In fact, he knew the solution before he created the world. He knew He knew he would send his son. And that act of love has made all the difference when you go down further. And it tells you about just as sin came into the world through the one man, death through that sin. And so death spread to all men because all sinned. And he identifies the issue, and the issues were spiritually dead. And then he brings in the solution. It says, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through the one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. Much more have we been redeemed by Jesus Christ crucified, Jesus Christ alive. We have been declared righteous, not by our successes, not by our doing, but by his accomplishment of overcoming sin, death, the grave, the devil. The Heavenly Father is the best Father of all. And a lot of people are really lambasting all the bad fathers in the world. And as much as they are real, God offers himself through his son to everyone so that we have the best example. And not only just an example, but we have the best source of strength, of power, and of wisdom. Because what do you think dads on earth do? They help you. They help you train. They help you grow up. They help you mature. They help teach you. You know, they help you stand on your own two feet. And our Heavenly Father does even better than that. He helps us to stand when everything else is against us. Even death. So that in Christ, whether I live or I die, I have God the Father. And in this earth, I have him now in word, and he sustains me by the sacraments. He continues to enrich our lives and guide us in the way that we should go. And how do we deal with life's situations and problems? He teaches us. But in our successes is not what gets us heaven, nor do our successes merit his love. God loves us unconditionally. And as people have disappointed their earthly dads, we know that we cannot keep the law. But our Heavenly Father has not disappointed us. For with the forgiveness of sins, we are restored. And with that reconciliation, we are embraced and welcomed. And we are welcomed into his family now, and one day it's for all eternity in his kingdom. Today's a good day to say thank you to earthly dads. They are a pretty good influence at times, aren't they? But it's even a more wonderful day to say thanks be to God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, who loves us no matter what. Amen.